Good afternoon. My name is Antonino, and today I'm going to talk about the teen. And can you do the next one? Yeah. Last week Scott was talking about Jesus praying for the disciples in John 17. Nine, and when Jesus finished of praying, he and his disciples went to the Gethsemane. How do you pronounce that? Gethsemane. Yeah, to the garden, and he started praying. I mean, John doesn't say that, but Matthew says that. He took Peter and James and John and go farther and start praying, right? And then in John 18, 12, John 18, 12, Judas, along with a group of soldiers and officers, arrest Jesus, right? And after that, can you move the, yeah. The Jewish lead led Jesus to Annas, yeah, the high priest on the left, right? And they start questioning Jesus. And after that, this is maybe Friday, very early in the morning, they went to the governor palace, right? This is Pilate, right? And we will start there. Let's go to read. Let's read in John 18:28. It says, and then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They want to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, what charge are you bringing against this man? If he were not criminal, they replied, we will not have handed him over to you. Pilate said, take him yourself and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone, the Jews object. This happened so that the words Jesus has spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, will be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace and summoned Jesus and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied, it was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? So we will stop there a little bit, and let's think what's going on here, right? So Jesus is in front of the Roman governor, and he's questioning Jesus, right? And we will see something that I was learning when I was doing this sermon. But first, let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to share with my brothers and sisters. Please be with us and help us to have an open heart and mind. And please let the Spirit speak to us, and we want to learn what Jesus did here, and I ask you to be with us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So, yes, the priest accused Jesus of insurrection, claiming to be the king of Jews. That That could be something that can be a threat for the Roman emperor. Yeah, and Jesus was dangerous, right? And after Pilate start talking with Jesus, he realized that there was no, that Jesus was innocent. So the Jewish has religious laws, but no civil authority to execute anyone. So they couldn't, they were willing to kill Jesus, but it was not legal, right, for them to do that. So they are trying to convince this Pilate to do it. So only the Roman had the legal authority to carry out the capital punishment. So, but Pilate says, take him yourself and judge him by your own law. And they say, we have no right to execute anyone. So what I'm seeing here is the real intention of these people. It's just they want to kill Jesus, right? And let's continue reading the next. Yeah, let's read. It says, John 18:36. It says, Jesus said, my kingdom is not from this world. If it were, my servant will fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, says Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying, I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth, listen to me. What is true? Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of Jews? They shout back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. So we'll stop a little bit there. And they are accusing Jesus to being, I mean, they are saying, oh, Jesus is claiming to be a king. And that didn't work. So that didn't convince Pilate to execute Jesus. So what they did is they returned to the original charge, which was blasphemy, right? So now they want to try another argument. Yeah, the next one, please. So now we will get into the chapter 19. So it says, and then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twist together a crown of thorn and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, hail, hail, King of Jews. And they struck him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. This is the second time that he's saying the same thing, right? When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate says to them, here is the man. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shout, crucify, crucify. But Pilate answered, you take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. This is the third time that he said the same thing. The Jewish insist, we have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he's claiming to be the Son of God. So we will stop a little bit there. And they are trying, you know, to convince him. So now they are dealing with something religious, not the civil rights, but the religious one. And they are saying, okay, he's claiming to be the Son of God, and that is blasphemy. And Pilate said, and what? So he doesn't care much about Jewish religion, right? But they know how to put pressure on him. And let's see how they use that information, right? But see, a couple hours before, can you move to the next one? Yeah. Matthew described what happened during the night, right? When Jesus was in front or before the Sanhedrin, yeah? So in the verse 63, it says, but Jesus remained silent. The high priest says to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. You have said so, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, from now on all, you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witness? Look, now you have here the blasphemy. What do you think? He's worthy of death, they answered. And then they spit in his face, struck him with their fists, and others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you? And that part is really horrible for me. I can see this is not fair. Jesus going through all those things, and I see the leaders full of hate, envy, and they are convinced that they are doing something right. Right? They are very blind. And for us, maybe it's easy to be critical of them, because it's very easy to see what others are doing wrong. But sometimes we cannot see ourselves, right? But let's move. Let's continue. So they are, and now they will use this religious stuff, and they will mix with the civil right, and we will see how they use that. So let's move the next one. Yeah. So now let's go back to John 19, verse 8. It says, when Pilate heard this, what he heard? He heard that Jesus was the Son of God, right? So when Pilate heard that Jesus was the Son of God, he was even more afraid. Afraid of what? Well, in Matthew 17 says that his wife, the wise are always wise, right? So his wife let him know that, his wife told him that, please don't be with him because he's holy man. Anyway, so of doing something wrong, he was afraid of maybe killing a man that really came from God. So he has that worry, right? But at the same time, he has pressure on him, right? And let's continue. So When he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't realize that I have the power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You will have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." So here is he's what I'm seeing. So how do you respond with this? I mean, all these things that we have read already, it is unfair. And Jesus went through this situation, right? How do you respond to this? What I mean is, do you think that this unfairness could be of benefit for you and for me at this right moment? I'm trying to think. Was all this unfairness necessary? Why does it have to be in that way? There was not another way to do? Why that plan of God? And if Jesus was the most loving person on earth, and he went through all this injustice, are you exempt? Of going through something similar or going through some trials? Are we, the disciples, exempt of trials? Is the question. If sometimes you consider that, well, I can go through trial, but not that hard. Why should be that way? So those are questions that I would like to discuss on Wednesday. So just take that for home. And heard that Jesus was the Son of God, he was afraid, right? And then there is something that really touched me. So Jesus is saying, Jesus answered, verse 11, he said, "You will have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." So when you are facing trials, right? Knowing that that is allowed by God, may you feel better? Maybe not. I'm talking about me. I don't want suffering at all. No little, no nothing, right? I don't want that. So, but in this situation, Jesus, he knows Jesus is experiencing something unjust. He knows that this is not fair. And at the same time, Jesus is aware that Pilate had no power over him. But even the Jewish leader, they don't have power. But still, they are stroking, spitting on his face. Still, I'm wondering how Jesus, with a human nature, can deal with that. Because I get mad easily. And I respond, right, with punching or whatever. I respond back. That's my nature. But how Jesus can be, self-control. And then, okay, he say, okay, you will not have power over me if it is not given to you from above. And I mean, if I'm suffering and it is unjust, Are we able to have the same peace in the middle of the trials as Jesus, like Jesus, right?
Amen.
I think that is possible.
Yes.
I mean, that is possible, but it requires something, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the connections, yeah, right. It requires something that Jesus that, right? Together, right? And I'm going to continue reading in the verse 12. It says, verse 12, it says, from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are not friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be king opposes Caesar." And here is what they are using, you know, to put more pressure on Pilate. They say, if you try to set Jesus free, you will be in trouble with Caesar. Maybe they will go to Caesar and say, hey, this guy, whatever, right? And his position will be dangerous. Do you think that, did Pilate recognize that he was sinning? That he was not doing what is right? I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Because he said three times, I find no basis for a charge against Jesus. So, yes, I think Pilate recognized that Jesus was innocent and he had Pilate had a growing sense of guilt over the chapter, right? And yeah, in Matthew 27, his wife warned him in a dream, have nothing to do with that righteous man. Yeah, it's Matthew 27, 19. I found my note, okay. So Pilate realized that executing Jesus will be wrong and tried multiple times to set Jesus, right? Pilate gave into pressure because Jews are saying, if you let this man go, you are not friend of Caesar. This threat cornered Pilate, and he fears losing power maybe, or maybe, I don't know, his position, or, and Pilate is in this moment trading the truth for comfort, right? So, but what about you and me, right? So, Pilate knew what was wrong, but the pressure was very high, so he had to take a decision. And yeah, so finally, he, in the verse 13, when Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat. And I was reading what was the meaning of sitting down on that judge's seat. And some commentary says that Pilate is making an official judgment. He's publicly announcing he has condemned Jesus to death. So when sitting there, he's saying to everybody, okay, the decision is made. This guy, the dilemma is over for Pilate, right? Because he was like, oh, this is wrong. I want to set this guy free. But at the same time, Jews are putting pressure. So finally he said, okay, I'm going to choose comfort instead of truth, right? And he sat down there, and Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. And can you move to the next one? Yeah. I can see those Jewish leaders driven by hate, envy, and desire to kill Jesus. But Jesus is full of peace, love, and truth. And at the same time, Pilate is facing this dilemma, and So I can see Pilate has a mirror of for many of us, because he knew that Jesus was innocent. He tried to reason with the crowd, tried to convince them. Pilate fears the divine judgment. We can see that. Like us. But at the end, he bowed to the pressure. Pilate fears losing position, reputation, security, or whatever. And I have been in those situations where my faith is challenged because you have to take decisions sometimes.
Yes.
And and what do you do, right? How can we take that courage?
Yes.
It takes something, right? And finally, just to finish, so the next one. This really touched my heart because Jesus is on the cross, right? He's suffering, and still, let's read the verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. And in the middle of suffering, Jesus is still thinking his mom.
Right.
He's really giving the meaning of the honor your father and mother, right? So he's taking care of his mother, and that really helped me. I mean, really touched my heart, because how can Jesus be in that? He's that sensitive with the need of Mary, right? But there is a good news, brothers and sisters. So, yeah, in the middle of this horrible situation, in fairness, when Jesus accept this cup, right? He's making possible for you and for me to receive that forgiveness. We have the opportunity to be changed. We have the opportunity to be loved by God. And we have the opportunity of his grace. So even when we can fail, we will have that opportunity. And I want to finish our praying. So can you bow down your head? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this example of Jesus. Help us to give us the courage when we sit or when we are in a situation of taking decisions. Help us to have the courage to live by the truth. Help us not to trade the truth for the comfort or for the position. And when we fail, remind us that your grace is deeper than our weakness, so that we can come back to you and say, "Forgive me, Lord," and your grace will be enough to forgive us.
Amen.
Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.